One day, I get this call from Guitar Man, and he says, "Hey, man, do you remember these guys that I've been rehearsing with?" And I was like, yeah, I remember, yeah. He says, "Well, we got our first gig, and we're playing up in Cave Creek this Saturday night. We go on at 8, but the reason I'm calling you is because I need your help setting up at 5. Can you be there to help me?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, no problem. Totally, I'm totally there." And so we finish our conversation, and I get out the phone, and I was like, "Right on, man. This is going to be awesome. I get to meet some musicians, help them out, and later listen to some live music. This is going to be cool." And then it hits me. I'm like, "Wait, Saturday? Oh my God, I don't get off work until 6:30 on Saturdays. Duh, Bishop." And he needs me there at what, 5? But they go on at 8. Why so freaking early? So the next day, when I asked my boss if I could leave early on that Saturday, and she was really cool boss, you know, very flexible, very laid back. And when I told her I wanted to leave early on that Saturday, she takes this deep breath and she kind of, you know, pursed her lips a little bit. And she's like, "Normally, that would be fine, but I'll be across town that Saturday and I'll be looking at some inventory and I won't be back until late." And in my mind, I'm thinking, "Oh man, two people are counting on me to be in two places at one time. Man, what am I gonna do?" Everyone, my name is Bishop Friesch, and wherever you may be watching or listening, thank you very much for being here and welcome to My Life Through Music, a project where I talk about the songs and music that were either there at the time or they describe the thoughts, feelings, or emotions I was experiencing at these particular places and at these particular times. And the song that represents these memories is Wanted, Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi, released in 1986. This song, I mean, it's an absolute masterpiece. Right from the intro, you know, you hear that distant wind, that haunting guitar, and that slow, deliberate beat, you know, of the bass drum. It just speaks right into my soul, man. And I don't just hear it. I am transported to a place where I can almost taste the dust, you know, in that scorching wind. I see weathered fence posts that just go on forever. I see, you know, rusty barbed wire and old rotted out wooden structures just barely standing at the end of long desolate dirt roads. I see people, you know, completely satisfied and happy, just working in solitude and driven by a spirit that just will not be tamed. And right before, you know, John Bon Jovi's voice just ignites the first verse, around the 46 second mark, when I'm streaming, there's a shaker and a sound that is just all too familiar to me, but resonates, you know, with me, because growing up in Arizona, that sound always echoes like the warning of a rattlesnake, you know? And what that does, it just gives more realism to my experience growing up here. And to me, all of this is just, it's just magic. And it just puts on the final brushstroke to my vivid desert scene. But it's not just the music that gets me. It's the words, you know, the story that these words weave, you know, and the video that gives us, you know, just a tiny insight of what it's like to be out there on the road, you know, almost living life of a wanderer and getting a taste of, you know, the highs and the lows that come with being, you know, a rock star or an artist and a performer. It gives us a window, a small one, albeit, but a window into their world. And it shows us the adrenaline of performing, the moments of even solitude in strange places. And it shows us the roller coaster of emotions that, you know, define what it's like being on the road. And what truly blows my mind is how the writing is a parallel between the life of a cowboy and that of a rock star, you know? And I don't think this song is about the stereotypical cowboy. It's about a maverick, you know, a trailblazer, someone who, you know, walks to the beat of their own drum. It's a terrible pun, but, you know, a rebel who embraces, you know, being alone, because frankly, there aren't very many people who actually get them or comprehend their ideas and their ways of thinking. They choose to live life on their terms, forging their own path, you know, and in many ways, John Bon Jovi embodies that spirit, you know, epitomizing not only what music stands for, but what rock and roll is about. This song, to me, just isn't music. It's a reminder that our backgrounds, our memories, and our passions are all found in every single note of this song. I mean, yeah. I mean, each and every one of you is somewhere in this song. And where are you? You know, Dead or Alive is... It's a song about the passionate heart and soul that is inside of each and every one of us, but only a few truly, truly discover it. And it's one of the anthems of a life lived unapologetically and unflinching. So Guitar Man, you know, I've mentioned him before, was a very good friend of mine, and he had an incredible aptitude for all aspects of music. He was at the time the most talented musician I'd ever met up to that point. And when he was like 7th or 8th grade, he started learning bass, and then he learned how to play the drums, and then he learned how to play the guitar. And he was all self-taught. And he was so freaking talented that he could pick up virtually any instrument, especially a stringed instrument, and he could figure it out in minutes, you know? And he actually convinced me to buy my first guitar. I'm digressing. So here I was. I was in this small dilemma where my boss obviously was depending on me to be there for my full shift, which she should, and my good friend was depending on me to be there to help him, as he should. I mean, you know, I did this to myself, you know. I put myself in this position. So Friday, when I was at work, my boss tells me, okay, I know you want to get out of here early. I'm going to try to get back so you can go, but I can't promise you anything. And at that point, I was like, you know, that's the best I could hope for up to this point. And so Saturday comes around and I go to work like normal. And thank goodness, you know, it was pretty busy throughout the day because number one, it made the time pass quicker. And number two, it took my mind off of this, you know, this impending predicament that I was slowly getting closer to. And then the afternoon comes. And 3 o'clock rolls around and there's no sign of my boss. Then 4 o'clock, still no sign of my boss. 4:30, nothing. Now, keep in mind, there were no cell phones at this time, you know. I couldn't just, you know, call her up and say, hey boss, are you coming, you know, before 5? You're gonna be here? And, you know, she couldn't call me and say, hey, I'm just around the corner, you know, I'll be there in 15 minutes. No, none of that. I just had to wait. And now it's 4:45. And I'm starting to get this overwhelming sensation of dread, man. I mean, I can't stand still. I'm pacing back and forth, looking out, you know, the doors every 10 seconds, but she's still not here. And I promised Guitar Man that I would be there to help him at 5. 2 minutes later, her huge white van just comes pulling into the gravel parking lot. And she jumps out and she runs inside the store and she's like, I got it from here. I got it from here. Go, go, go. You know, and she's moving her hands like this. Go, you know. And so I ran outside to my car. I jump in. Luckily, where I had to be was just right around the corner. I mean, literally right around the corner. And so I drove over and I met my friend right at 5 o'clock. So I get there and he's totally stoked. You know, he's like so glad that I showed up. And he's like, okay, before we can even set up, there's a bunch of stuff that needs to be taken off the stage and put in the storage area. And apparently there was something going on there. I don't even remember what it was, but they couldn't set up earlier. And long story short, you know, that stuff had to be moved before they could start bringing their gear in. And that's why he needed me there early. So I'm like, yeah, man, just tell me what needs to be done, man. Tell me what to do. And so I, along with everyone else, you know, we started moving things off the stage and putting it away. And then they were ready to start setting up. And I was just doing little things, you know, I was helping out, you know, and I had never done anything like that before. I mean, I had no idea, you know, all the things that go into setting something like that up, even if it was a small little stage, you know. You know, it's like, you know, put this here. Here. Move that over there. Tape this down. Turn this. Shift that. Raise this up. No, that's too high. Bring it down a little bit. You know, just all the little details that are involved. But it was very cool, and it was interesting, and it was a really cool insight into, you know, what they were doing, and I really enjoyed it. And so I stayed that night and I watched and I listened to them play, and they were great. Man, they were awesome. And at the end of the night, for their encore, they played Wanted, Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi. And it was great, man. And just before it was time for Guitar Man to play the guitar solo, he looks over at me, you know, I'm in the crowd, you know, and he gave me this little nod, this tacit nod, as if to say, you know, thanks, bro, you know. And he stepped forward in front of the rest of the band, and he's in the spotlight, and he shreds the guitar solo, man. He played that thing with this, just so much passion, as all of us, you know, were just cheering and encouraging him as he allowed the music to just flow, you know, and guide him as if he was experiencing something that couldn't be described, but only felt. And I think we all felt it that night. And after the solo was over, you know, he carefully got back to his original position on stage. And he looked over at me with this wide smile on his face as I held up my beer to toast, you know, our friendship, and also to toast the power of music. For some reason, for as long as I can remember, I have always had this unexplainable need or desire to be someone who can be counted on, you know, dependable. And when I can't, or when I fail to be that, it really bothers me, you know? And I don't know, it's probably something buried somewhere deep in my subconscious or something. Perhaps there's an opportunity to go deeper into that down the road, I don't know. But here was a friend of mine who was asking for help, and I could tell it was something very important to him. And I wanted to be that good friend. You know, I wanted to help him. I really did. I felt that I had to. But getting back to the song, and particularly the video, we see quite a bit in this video for this song. But you know what? There's stuff in there that we don't see. These bands that we listen to, we support, we buy their music, we go to their live shows. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, the vast majority of us, you know, quite frankly, we seldom think about. I mean, we don't see the creative process in its entirety, you know, coming up with the ideas and concepts, the writing, the collaboration, the juggling of schedules, the logistics, the rehearsing, the actual recording, you know, itself, the road. I mean, just imagine, you know, like a North American tour or something, or even a world tour, you know? I mean, check this out. You know, I was talking to my youngest daughter recently. She had come back from a concert. She was showing me all of her, you know, she bought a couple shirts and stuff. And I showed her, I turned it around. I said, look at that, you know, look at the back of that shirt and tell me what you see. And she's like, you know, cities and dates. And I'm like, that's right, you know. Take a second to just try and imagine all the work. All the work, not only by the musicians, but all the people involved before that shirt is even printed. Or before the band even walks on stage. You know, everyone from the crew who traveled to the city setting up and tearing down the venues to the drivers driving, you know, through the night, hauling the equipment, and everybody and everything in between. It's truly amazing. And, you know, I've been blessed throughout my life to been able to go to a lot of concerts and live shows throughout my life, just like all of you. And this is just me talking, but I can honestly say that the ones I've been to, they all were incredible. They were great. There might have been a few where it wasn't necessarily the band's best effort, but they were still great. And I've always felt that, again, this is me, I've always felt that I've gotten my money's worth out of every show I've been to. But when we invest our, you know, our hard-earned money, and we, you know, we buy the record. We used to buy the records and CDs, and, you know, now we do it differently. But we buy that ticket. Unless there was, you know, some extenuating circumstances, on that date, the crew was there early. They set up the venue. The band was there. Sometimes, you know, a little late, but that's rock and roll, right? But they get up there and they pour out their hearts and souls, and they share, you know, a part of themselves with us night in and night out, you know? And this is why we connect with them. This is their way of being reliable. And this is why they really are wanted by us, because their music, it's not just music. It transcends boundaries and barriers. It resonates with us. And more importantly, it unites us. Now, I think about this sometimes. If I had a chance to sit down with all my favorite musicians and all my heroes, not as a rock star, but as a person, you know, there's so much I'd want to ask them. Of course, I'd want to ask them about being a rock star, how cool that is. But there's so much more I'd want to know, you know. And now that I'm older, I have a family, you know, I pretty much raised my kids. And I know what it's like, you know, being a parent and all the things that go on while raising kids. You know, one of the things I would want to do is I would want to thank my favorite artists and musicians and performers for what they've sacrificed so that we can enjoy their art and their music, whether it's live or otherwise. I mean, I do consider that, you know, especially as a parent, you know, I really do. I mean, I really would want to thank them, because think of all the missed family events, the missed moments. And if you can't hear it in the song, you can definitely see it in this video. I mean, I wonder to myself, you know, have they ever been talking to their son on the phone and hear them say something like, I don't know, something like, hey, Dad, you know, I got a hit in our game today. Or, you know, hear, you know, the daughter say, hey, Daddy, you should see me dancing in, you know, at school on stage last night, you know. I mean, if you're a parent, man, you know what I'm talking about. The list goes on and on and on. And this is what makes me appreciate not only the music, but the time and the effort and, again, all the sacrifices that our favorite musicians and heroes make so that we can enjoy their craft. And so thank you to all the bands and all the musicians that I've talked about on this little project of mine and all the ones I'm going to talk about in the future. Thank you for everything that went into your music, which allows me to just enjoy it. You know, it's your music that has been such a huge part of my life and has enriched it. And I'm sure I speak for many others. And this is why Wanted, Dead or Alive, is right here in my life through music playlist. So at this time, even though I wasn't necessarily living the delinquent and degenerate life I had been living, you know, not so long before, I wasn't the productive and contributing citizen that my parents thought I should be at the time. And then one morning, one very early morning, this huge wave, you know, from my waterbed just shakes me out of this wonderful, peaceful, and deep sleep that I was in. And I slowly look back, and there was just enough light shining through, you know, my door from the hallway to show my dad standing there with this serious look on his face and his work boot still on the edge of my bed. And he calmly goes, "Are you working today?" And at this point, you know, I'm rubbing my eyes. My brain was still asleep. And I was like, yeah, I think so. And he was like, you know, real calmly. He's so calm. He's so even keel. He's like, "What time will you be done, son?" And I'm at this point, I'm still trying to think about what day it is. And I, you know, I'm talking through these long yawns. I'm like, "I think 5. Yeah, 5, you know. And then he calmly says, you know, 5. Okay, 5 o'clock. At 5:30, you will be at the kitchen table. Not 5:45, not 5:35, not even 5:31. 5:30. Do you understand me? And I was like, yeah. And then he takes his boot off my bed and he says, "You and I are gonna have a talk." And then he walks out of my room and he closes the door behind him. And I'll be getting into that. And another surprise, something that I was never expecting, the next time I talk a little more about my life through music. As always, thank you. Thank you very much for being here. Hey Siri, turn on Do Not Disturb, please. Thank you. I'm digressing, but